I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We're thinking this morning of the all-sufficient Christ. Jesus Christ is all-sufficient for every need that you have. He is sufficient in salvation. He is sufficient in life. He is sufficient for death. Jesus Christ is all sufficient for your salvation. Hebrews 7:25 says, He is able to deliver thee. Our main greatest problem is that we are sinners and we are condemned by God. We are guilty of actual sin. Romans 3:23 says, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then in Romans 3:10 we read that there is none righteous, no, not one, so that all of us are guilty of having committed actual sin. But not only are we guilty of committing actual sin, we are also guilty of original sin. In Romans chapter 5, we read verse 12, Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men, because all sinned. That's what is called original sin. Adam was the head of the human race, and Adam represented you and me as our federal head, so that Adam's choice was going to affect you and me. So that when Adam chose to sin, then Paul says, the Word says, that we all sinned in the one man Adam, so that his sin and the effect of his sin continued on to you and me. So that you and I now are born in what is called sin. That is what original sin is. We are born in it. We sinned in Adam. Had it been you, had it been your wife, had it been your husband, had it been your child, had it been your father, it would all come out the same way. The same choice would have been made. That is Paul's point. When Adam sinned, you sinned. And so the whole human race was plunged into sin. We're guilty of original sin. We're born in a state of rebellion toward God. You see, Romans 5 again says, While we were enemies of God, Christ died for us. I am afraid that there are some folk today who think that when you and I are born as men, as women, that we're born with some kind of neutral, harmless nature. And that as we go through life, then hopefully we'll make the right decisions. And ultimately, when we get to heaven, the good is going to outweigh the bad when we get there. But you see, the Bible's picture of man is that man is a sinner and he is in rebellion against God, and he is one who is as if he is shaking his fist in the face of God saying, I don't want you in my life. Now that is the Bible's picture of all men. That we are rejecting God, that we are rebels against God. You see, the reason you are a sinner is not because you commit sins, but the reason that you sin is because you are a sinner. You see, your problem is not that you just morally do things that are wrong out here, But your problem and my problem basically is that we have a heart problem, and that our problem is the source of our behavior is wrong and is messed up and is crumpled and is marred by sin. Why do I sin then? It is because I have a heart of sin. It isn't that I do things wrong and that makes my heart wrong. But you sin because you're a sinner in your heart. That is the Bible's picture of man. Our main problem is that we are sinners and we are condemned by God. We commit actual sins, but we're also guilty of original sin. But that's not all. If you think that's a gloomy, bad picture, that's not all. For the Bible also says in Romans chapter 9 that we are vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. It is as if every man who is born in life is on his way to destruction, is a man who is condemned, is judged already. We who are born in life, we don't just go through and have a choice, as it were, of perhaps saying, well, I think I'll choose eternal life, or I think I'll reject it. But the Bible's picture is that you have already made your choice, friend. And that choice is that you and I have rejected God by the nature of what we are, and we are vessels of wrath fitted only for destruction. That's a pretty gloomy picture, wouldn't you say? But that's not all. Therefore, the Bible says we are condemned. We're condemned people. A man on death row is a condemned man, waiting for execution. But Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 18, that he who does not believe on the Son of God is condemned already. That if you do not have faith in him, if you have not trusted him, that you're already judged. But there is a solution to the problem, and this is where Jesus is adequate for our salvation. The solution is Romans chapter 8, verse 1, where we read, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." Do you know the joy of that verse, the reality of that verse? Can you say this morning, it doesn't matter how long you have been in church, whether you came from a Baptist church or Methodist, Presbyterian, or you have been a deacon, an elder, a preacher, the most important question that you have to face and answer is this: do I stand condemned before God, or can it be said of me, according to Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus? Oh, friend, would you examine your own heart and your soul this morning? And will you ask yourself, can it be said of me, I stand as a man uncondemned because I stand in Christ? Are you in Christ today? Christ is all sufficient for your salvation, but he is also the one who is all sufficient for your life. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Christ living in you is the only true life. You see, John 10:10, Jesus says, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And then in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but through me. So that Jesus is the only true life that exists. You and I may have animal existence. We may be moving around, seemingly living or approximating life. But Ephesians 2:1 says this, we are dead in trespasses and sins. We're like dead men. I have performed many, many funeral ceremonies. A dead man, his body is completely oblivious to anything that goes on. He has no response. He cannot respond. He does not have the capacity. And so that is the picture that God, the way God describes us. That we're dead, even though we're moving around and we have bodies and we can see and hear, God says we're dead. He says that the only true life is life in His Son. That is Jesus Christ. Contrary to what we think about Jesus and God, we look up or we pray and we think that He is a celestial killjoy. That He's up there saying, okay, now you stop that. You quit that. No pleasure today. But God, you see, looks at us in our misery, in our captivity, in our slavery, and He says, do you want life? Then come to the waters and drink. I think of Jesus meeting the woman at Samaria, and he asked her for water, and she said, you don't have anything to drink with. How are you going to draw water? And Jesus said, if you had asked of me, I would have given you living water, which would be in you an eternal spring welling up into everlasting life. That is what Christ offers to you and me. That eternal spring, that peace and that joy and that well of water dwelling in you. That is what life is. That is true life. It is a life in Christ. Without it, why, you just have animal existence. Christ living in you is the only true life. Christ living for you is sufficient for your daily needs. We didn't read two verses from Philippians prior to verse 13. Listen to these two verses. Now, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and of suffering need. You see, Christ is all sufficient for your daily needs. No matter what your need is, there is not a need, there is not a want, there is not a desire, there is not a problem, but that Jesus Christ is not adequate to meet your need. Whatever it is, emotional or spiritual, in your thinking, He can meet your need. That was pressed home to me in a book that I have been reading recently. It's about George Mueller. George Mueller was born a German, converted at the age of 20, moved to Bristol, England. And he opened 4 orphan homes where he finally housed as many as 900 children. But he also had a society for the propagation of Christian knowledge that he funded. But the interesting thing about George Mueller is that George Mueller never told anyone what his needs were. The only person that George Mueller talked to was God, as he prayed and he asked God to supply every need that he had. Whether it was opening the orphan homes, or whether it was supplying the orphan needs, or whether it was food or clothing or money to go for missions, he only asked God, God, will you supply? And he didn't tell his need to other men. He was a man who trusted God completely. I wonder how many of us are truly trusting God for our daily needs. How many of us really believe that God will supply every need that you have, that He will meet, and that He is adequate? There is a story told in George Mueller's biography. One day, all the children were gathered at breakfast. The long table was set, the plates were put out, but there was nothing on the plates. There was nothing in the cupboard, no food, nothing to drink. God had not supplied anything for the children, and so George Mueller stood up and he said, "Oh God, I thank Thee for what Thou art about to supply." And he said, "In Jesus' name, amen." The doorbell rang. And there stood a man at the door who was a baker. He said, "Last night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, God laid it on my heart, the concern of these orphans. And I got up and I've spent all night baking bread. Do you need bread for breakfast?" "Come in, put it on the table." The doorbell rang again. A milk truck had broken down outside. The milkman, in order to fix his truck, had to get rid of all the milk. And he rang the doorbell and asked if the children needed milk for breakfast. God supplies all of our needs if we're willing to trust Him. But the most important thing, and the reason that George Mueller founded the Society of the Propagation of Christian Knowledge, the reason that he founded these children's homes wasn't just for the purpose of supplying their need, but the reason was this. He wanted to prove to the world that God is a God who answers, who hears and answers the prayer of faith. It could be that the reason that you and I have our prayers answered in the negative so frequently, our prayers are not the prayers of faith, but we always keep the back door open, don't we? If God doesn't answer this, then I'll do it some other way myself. Christ is all sufficient. Friends, there is not a need that you have that He cannot meet in your daily life. He is all sufficient in the trials that you face. We're not going to treat that subject this morning, but we're going to come to that a little later on, perhaps next Lord's Day. But finally, I want to say this, that Christ is all sufficient in your death. And for your death, He is all sufficient in salvation, isn't He? There you are, a sinner, guilty of actual sin, guilty of original sin, under the wrath and curse of God. Therefore, you are condemned. But then there is Jesus Christ who offers Himself so that Paul is able to say, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." He is adequate to remove your condemnation, your lostness, the wrath of God upon you. He is adequate to take that and remove it and forgive you. He is adequate for your life. He is able to be your true life. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Me." He is adequate for your daily needs. He will answer the prayer of faith if you trust Him. And then He is adequate in your death. You see, friends, one day you and I will be but memories on planet Earth. And out in some cemetery, there will be a stone marker. In Forest Cemetery or Crestwood or wherever. And that will be all that will remain of you and I. But surprise, you will not be buried there, because Jesus Christ says to you, "I am adequate to enable you to face your death." He told the thief on the cross, "Behold, this day you will be with me in paradise." So much so that when we face death, we can face death with, as the Apostle Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What a joy unspeakable to contemplate. I am sure that if we realize what that perfect degree of happiness would be for you and me when we get to heaven, we would never fear death. But we would look forward to that time when with joy we would face that experience. And so, Christ is able to meet that need that you and I have, friends. So that you and I can say as we face that time with the hymn writer, "While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyelids close in death, when I soar through worlds unknown, when I behold thee on thy throne, rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Have you hidden yourself in the rock of ages, young men? Young ladies, older folk, children, have you been to Jesus and embraced Him as your Savior? I hope this morning, before you leave this sanctuary, that you will say, "Lord, I know that you are all sufficient, and I come to you, that you will cleanse me and forgive me and be my Savior." If you've been doubting God in your life and you've been running around like a chicken with his head cut off trying to figure out the answers to your life, when you know God will answer your need and meet it, I'm going to challenge you to cast all your care upon Him, to commit yourself to Him. If you're afraid in facing death, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me." Will you come to the rock, cleft for you, and hide yourself in that precious rock, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, right now? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank You for the Rock of Ages, who is the Lord Jesus. We thank You that we have a Savior who is adequate for every need that we have, that He is all sufficient in salvation. Oh, we rejoice that He has taken the brunt of God's wrath and curse, and that we are free. We thank You that He is adequate in life to supply our need. Oh, teach us not to be murmuring and grumbling and complaining, but to come to You in prayer, in the prayer of faith, knowing that we have a God who owns the universe and who is adequate. And we thank You that You are adequate in death, enabling us to face that experience, knowing that Jesus stands on the other side to meet us and to welcome us into His eternal abode, and that one day He Himself will come and the graves will open and we will live eternally with Him. How we thank Thee for such joy as we contemplate it, and for the Lord Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Turn with me now to hymn number 198, "Just As I Am, Without One Plea." Hymn number 198. Shall we stand?